Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bingo. We are.
I feel away. So bad. We've been away for 2 weeks. Like, didn't really, like, prep anybody.
No, we didn't tell anybody.
We didn't let anybody know. We didn't go, we're going to be off in a couple of weeks for, like, we just left them, our babies.
I know.
We abandoned our babies.
Yeah, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen.
Also, listeners, can I just tell you that the last time that we were going to do a live, Michael feels so bad about you guys that, like, I was talking to him and he seemed really agitated and like kind of distressed. And I said, what's wrong? He said, look, we've really got to do a live.
Yeah, I know.
And I thought, that is the nicest thing ever. You really care.
Our followers.
I'm joking.
Yeah.
Of course I do.
Our followers and listeners sit heavy on me.
Really. I know. I can see that.
I know.
And when we were away and you were like, you wouldn't settle.
Stressed, yeah.
You couldn't settle.
Yeah.
Until we'd done it.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. It was bothering me quite a lot.
It was really sweet. And that is a genuinely beautiful thing about you, Michael, that you really care about people.
I do, yeah. Well, very grateful for the audience, you know.
Oh, my God, so grateful.
So good. Hope everybody's all right. We went to Disneyland. Yay!
Oh, my God.
God.
So many people have said to me, everybody that I see or speak to that knows me, did he like it? Because they knew how much was riding.
There was a lot on it, yeah.
There was a lot on it.
Yeah, well, it was very good. Yeah, of course I did. You know, I mean, what's not to like? You know, I mean, it's fucking fairground rides and all the rest of it. So it's like, it's childish behaviour, essentially.
Yes.
And there's nothing more liberating than acting young again.
I think that is what it is. Chester and I were trying to put our finger on it the other night about what is it that's so special about going and doing day back-to-back theme parks every day. And I think it's because it's a form of meditation.
Mm.
You cannot think about anything other than just trying to stay alive.
Mm.
And it's...
That's why I like skiing.
Yes. Yeah. It's similar.
You can't think about anything other than skiing while you're skiing. Yeah. Otherwise you die, yeah. Well, it was very, very good. I mean, it was very different. America's fucking bonkers, isn't it?
Can we just talk about the food?
Yes. First of all,
I've got two spots. Have you seen?
Oh, you've got two spots, and you think they're a withdrawal from sugar and salt?
They are basically the toxins from the last week coming out of my body.
Out of your face.
Face, yeah.
Now you've pointed them out. I'm not going to be able to unsee them.
I'm going to put a ton of cover up on them.
Yeah. The most interesting bit of food was the pad thai we had, which was a pad thai, but it was like they'd put a cup of custard over the top of it. I was like,
sugary custard.
Well, really, yeah, absolutely, custard, yeah. It was so fucking sweet. I was like, what have they done to this pad thai?
No, you know, seriously, the amount of sugar.
Put pudding into it.
Yeah, but they've put a pudding in it.
Yeah, I was like, fuck,
they
mate.
Put a pudding in everything. I bought wholemeal bread.
Yes.
Too sweet for me to eat.
Yeah, it was...
Trying to find peanut butter without sugar in it, almost impossible.
Nah, you don't want sugar. You don't want peanut butter without sugar, though.
Michael.
Yeah.
You do.
Sunpat all the way for me. Sunpat crunchy. It's tasty. But yes, it was sugar and salt was pretty epic.
Can I tell everybody a secret?
Depends. Go on.
We have to have two pots of peanut butter in our house.
Yeah, we do.
One Whole Earth with no added sugar.
For you.
And
for
one
me.
Sunpat with the added sugar for you.
When I make a peanut butter on toast, put the wrong one on
it. No, you don't.
She has no idea. She's
I
like,
do.
Wow, this is really good.
I would.
Yeah, no, I'm joking. Yeah, my kids are like a bit of Sunpat crunchy, and so do I, really. I'm not a Ponzi peanut butter kind of person.
Can I tell you why your kids like Sunpat crunchy?
Because it's full of sugar and salt.
No, it's because it's all you've given them.
Yeah, I know.
But that it's not like they've chosen.
Yeah, that's
you've
how I
You've chosen roll. For them.
Beer, lager, whiskey, Sunpat, salt and shake crisps. They've got a good constitution, my kids. Rock solid. I've never seen him puke, either of them. That's not true. So, ladies and gentlemen, this might be our last podcast for a while.
Yeah, only for a while.
Yeah.
We're talking about next sort of late spring. April, May.
Yeah. Is that late spring? That's early spring.
I'd say early spring is March.
I thought spring starts on the 29th of March when the clocks change, yeah. I don't know if that's true or not. I might have made that up.
No, it does.
So we're looking at April next year, spring. I think. Spring, generally. We're going to spring into action next year. We're just going to have a little breather because we've done this relentlessly probably since we started, which is about 150 episodes, I think we've done. Three or four years.
And I think the thing is that when we start recording the podcast at 10 o'clock at night, because we've had such busy days and everything, then that's not good for our mental health. And we need to just give it a rest for a little bit.
Yes.
Because you've started the business, which is going ridiculously well. Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about your business.
So we had our first birthday on the 13th of October. We launched our MD London Blow last year on that day. And then we've launched, obviously, straightening irons and things like that. I mean, it's been a really interesting journey. I never thought I would be able to do this, you know. So it's been quite a kind of inspiring thing to do when I look back at it. And it's growing in all directions. And I can't believe how busy it's getting, essentially. As soon as you pick up two or three retailers, then you realise there's an enormous amount of logistical management to do. Mm. And it consumes a lot of your brain. So I never stop working, really. Even right now, I'm thinking about what I've got to do on Friday for QVC or, you know, getting stock delivered to Selfridges or whatever. It just never stops, which is fine. It's not a complaint at all. I thought my idea would be I'd work really, really hard between 50 and 60 and then hopefully be able to retire. So it was that whole idea of sacrifice, you know, kind of work very hard today so you don't have to necessarily tomorrow. It's great. It's really, really bloody good. And there isn't a morning where I don't wake up and think, fuck, can't believe we're doing this, you know. And myself
but
and Reese
it's
and Andy
also
and Olivia,
scary, right?
It is scary, yes, but I've never really been afraid of
haven't you?
That. No, I don't mind that. You know, someone was talking to me recently about imposter syndrome, and I always think, yeah, like if you've got imposter syndrome, you're in exactly the right place. You should feel like an imposter.
I was just going to say, because I get that.
Yeah, yeah, well, I think it's a good thing. People have these things like, oh, I suffer with imposter syndrome, and I think, good, like, you're just slightly outside your domain of experience, and therefore you're learning all the time. So I don't really have a problem with feeling like I'm slightly out of control or feeling like I'm an imposter. I think that's exactly where you should be, you know, as much as you can cope with, of course, you know. Well, you know, whenever you speak to performers or comedians, or I remember Billy Connolly feeling like I shouldn't be here, and he was clearly the greatest stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
You know, certainly in the 80s of all time, you know, and it's like, oh, it's really interesting that somebody who can do this and has done it for years still feels like they can't. And it's because he's probably, you know, restricting himself. I mean, I remember seeing him one night. We did a three-night run at the Hammersmith Apollo, and his friend had said, I bet you can't do three nights without repeating a single piece of material. And he said, I'll do it for the next three nights. And I'm sure when you put those restrictions on yourself, you start to think, fuck, I can't know if I can do this or not. And I went to see him on the third night, and he told this story, and he said, I've done the third night, I haven't repeated a single fucking story, you know, and I just thought, wow, you know, how fucking great. And it was the best hour and 45 minutes of stand-up I had ever seen, hands down. And I thought, Jesus, and this is the tail end of your material, you know. It was bloody brilliant. So anyway, yes, imposter syndrome I've totally got, and I love it, you know. Not when I go to bed. I just want to get rid of it all then, of course. But anyway, so yeah, if you're thinking about setting up a business or you're thinking about stepping outside of your domain of experience, then fucking do it, you know.
Well, that really nicely leads me on to my first recommendation, actually.
Okay, great.
Because have you heard of Holly Tucker?
Yes, I have.
Not on the high street.
So we share investors. Yeah, Not on the High Street. You know?
Do you? So yes. Holly Tucker doesn't have Not on the High Street anymore.
No, she sold it. And all the investors did extremely well because it was a mega business.
It's a mega business. Yeah. It's still a mega business.
And you know why she set it up?
Why?
To slightly stab her ex-husband in the back.
Is that true?
I think there was something about that she did it because I think she went through a divorce and one thing or another. I remember someone telling me this story. It was about, you know, she really wanted to prove to him that he totally fucked up.
Yes.
So she became the most successful fucking woman in her field. And she bloody did it.
She bloody did it.
And it's very interesting when you think the one thing that might break you actually is likely to make you, you know. So if anybody's feeling broken by a situation, just remember, right in the eye of it is all the power.
Gosh, you're quite
full of it today.
Full of it today. Yeah, you've gone full fucking.
I've had a really nice experience today.
Tony
I've had
Robbins on me.
Three journalists come in today to get their hair done with me, and they just unleashed me in some way. You know,
really?
They asked me questions, and I went, "Do you know what? I'm going to tell you stuff." And they told me stuff, and it was like, boom. And I thought, God, I'm having a great day today.
Who were the journalists?
They were just from Hearst and Bauer and stuff like
that.
Oh, that's
so nice.
Yes, but they were just super nice.
It's very nice when you connect with people.
Yeah, yeah. So they were journalists I hadn't met before, so they were people I didn't know. And I love meeting new people.
Also, can I just say what you always do when you meet new people?
Yeah.
You always over-deliver.
Yeah, I really
like they leave going... Yeah. Holy shit, I thought he was this guy. Mm. I mean, everybody that listens to the podcast knows who you are. But I think if you go, oh, Michael Douglas, the hairstylist, everybody kind of goes, oh, like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But no.
I was thinking about you're being not, a hairdresser is like a superpower.
You're not like
you just
that.
Get to fly under the radar.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, I'm going back to Holly Tucker.
Yeah, Holly Tucker. Great.
Holly Tucker, I love her. Mm-hmm. So a while back, she sent me her book, and her book is about small businesses and trying to help them get off the ground. And then I think maybe we might have even talked about it on the podcast, but she has now started a new business. Mm-hmm. When she got rid of Not on the High Street, it's quite funny, she sent me a little card and she said, and I said to myself, never again. But I lied.
But I lied, yeah.
And she has set up Holly.co, mm-hmm. which I love because her business is called Holly and Co.
Oh, okay, great.
And
great
it's
use
the
of it
same premise. Mm-hmm. As Not on the High Street. It's curated small businesses.
Okay, great.
But I think she predominantly kind of is looking at female-led businesses,
okay.
trying to help
nice.
Female entrepreneurs. But I'm not sure if it's solely female entrepreneurs, but mm-hmm. but she's sort of trying to give women an extra leg up. She sent me a lovely, lovely bag, which you can get on the website, which says small business is my bag.
Okay,
I'll
great.
Take a picture of it. I'll take a picture
of it.
That's
very good, yeah.
And, but when you look at her website, it is brilliant. So it's holly.co. So she's got lots of different types of headings. Mm. We've got Christmas. So if you type on a magical Christmas, it's got these little straws. You know who'd like those?
Chester.
He
loves a drinking receptacle.
He drinks out of any receptacle. But look, I love that. Santa, stop here for the Sudbury family.
Nice,
You know, they're all kind of loads of personalised,
good.
Really cool signs. Mm-hmm. But the thing about any of these businesses, like Not on the High Street, Etsy, any of these kind of businesses, they end up just getting so big that you don't feel like it's curated anymore.
It's a
car crash.
Yeah,
it's a machine. Yeah. And look, it's a great machine and it works really well.
Yeah,
but this has got style written all over it at really affordable prices. But the other thing that I really like about her is that she really does put her money where her mouth is. So when we're looking at the headings here, she's got the shop. So you've got Christmas, Halloween, you can discover things. You've got gift ideas, him, her for the kids. Home and garden, lots of jewellery, lots of arts and prints and cards and stationery,
really
food and drink. It's a huge selection. Then there's inspiration. So she's kind of, if you want to live creatively, if you want to shop purposefully, if you want to be a little bit more...
Frugal
and also environmentally friendly, if you want to kind of think a little bit more about that. And then at the end, she's got business advice. And I love her for this. So there's Holly's podcast, and on it she talks to lots of kind of female entrepreneurs who started their businesses. Holly's campaign for independence, for little independent businesses.
Amazing.
And, and here's Holly's book, which I must talk to you about, Do What You Love and Love What You Do. And she's an MBE. Anyway, I find her incredibly inspiring.
Oh, she's an MBE as well, is she? If only.
But Holly.co.
Yes.
Her business is called Holly and Co. Mm-hmm. Amazing Christmas present ideas. Really inexpensive.
Yes,
and it's really, really, really good because it inspires you. Mm. I think personalised gifts are brilliant. If you order now, you'll be in time.
So... when I told that story about that she wanted to stab her husband in the back, I, thought that, I might have made that bit up.
Okay, just because so now you know that she's connected to me in some way.
Well, not only that, I just hated to read this, listen to this podcast and go, oh, I didn't want to stab him in the back. I have no idea whether she what happened in her marriage. Just to clear that up. But the story was the divorce spurred her on to do Not on the High Street and so whatever it was. But
can I tell you something?
I just wanted to, all of a sudden, I was panicked a bit.
Yes,
there.
That people aren't going to lift something out of context. You know, I did the Richard Herring
thing.
The Richard Herring podcast.
Yes.
So I said in this Richard Herring podcast, he said, you and Kylie, we were talking about Word Is Out the video. We went, you still friends? And I went, well, no, not really.
Yeah.
And he said,
you're not,
like, what happened?
Yeah.
And I said, oh, she changed the number and didn't give it to me. And then I went, no, that's a joke. Actually, we just grew apart, you know, like life goes on.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I just hadn't seen her for ages. She went back to Australia for a bit and we just sort of grew apart. But I love her.
Yeah.
And the bloody papers went and printed that Kylie changed her number and didn't give it to me. And it's not true.
Mm.
I thought, God, why do they do that? I even said to Richard beforehand, I never do podcasts because stuff gets lifted from podcasts. Do you remember when I was dating The Rock because of something I said in the podcast?
In a podcast, yeah.
God, they're fucking lethal.
There was something very big that came out of the Richard Herring podcast is that Stephen Fry, who was a guest on the Richard Herring podcast, went on to say that he attempted to kill himself while travelling around America, making a TV show where he travelled around America in a taxi. During the making of that, essentially he tried to kill himself in the middle of it all. Now, nobody had ever heard this before, but he told Richard in the podcast, because Richard's such a lovely interview, that I think, and it's a very open, honest
it's
interview.
A very it's, easy.
There's nothing
it's very
frivolous
easy.
About
no.
it, is there, you know?
No.
And obviously that went viral, and I think that's what really catapulted Richard Herring's live at the Leicester Square Theatre into the mainstream a bit more, and people were like, okay, now this podcast is great, but it's another example, I guess. So you feel loose-lipped almost, you could say something and then you caveat it with some context that gets chopped off.
If I was a proper comedian, I would have said she changed the number and didn't give me the new one and I would have left it.
Yes,
but I'm not very good at that, so I said it's a joke, like,
yeah,
that's a joke.
Yeah,
because I felt bad. Anyway, what's your first recommendation?
My first recommendation is a YouTube thing that I listened to recently with James O'Brien. Now, James O'Brien is an LBC broadcaster from London Radio.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, he's very, very articulate. He's extremely good at interviewing people. And he's a very, very clever bloke. I'm always slightly terrified that one day, in some kind of nightmare situation where I've turned into some political commentator, that I find myself stuck on a radio show with James O'Brien, who picks me apart.
And who, literally breaks
and
you.
And humiliates me in front of everybody. Fortunately, I get the feeling that we both think similarly about things in the world. But if anyone's interested in just having a look at his work, then there's probably lots of it on YouTube and Instagram. But he was very vocal in Brexit and taking people apart.
Yes.
About that whole subject. I can't remember whether he was Remain or Stay. And presumably he was a Remainer, but I don't know. But anyway, he's done a series of interviews on YouTube, courtesy of LBC, and it's called James O'Brien Meets, I think. But anyway, he's done Steve Coogan. And I'd obviously watched The Reckoning and all the rest of it. And I just really like everything Coogan
stands
for.
He does, everything.
And he's been a naughty boy and he's been caught out and, you know, he's
Even that makes him even better. He's,
I love his stance in the Leveson Inquiry. Was it Leveson Inquiry about phone hacking? And, you know, I like his slightly left-leaning sensibilities as well. And I love the jobs he does and what he wants to do with his career, which is never really ever about money, as far as I can tell. It's probably about experience, people he wants to work with, and stories he'd love to tell. Philomena's an absolute fucking work of art, you know. And so James O'Brien interviews him, and I'm like, oh, is this going to be a James O'Brien challenging Steve Coogan's kind of thoughts or beliefs about, you know, his politics or whatever? And it's not that at all. It's an absolute love fest where James O'Brien looks, for the first time I've ever seen him,
soft.
Slightly intimidated and anxious because he wants to do a good job.
Wow.
He's slightly out of his domain of expertise, I think, because he's normally about politics and, I guess, stuff that's going on in Britain.
Yeah.
And this is not that, you know. So, one, I loved it because I saw James O'Brien with a slightly different take. And two, I saw Coogan really open up about his life.
Oh, really?
His background, where he came from.
Yeah.
I think he's got four or five brothers and a sister. His mum's Irish. Where he went to school, the things he tried to do, how much he hated playing football, didn't really like sports and all that kind of stuff, you know. He said he would hang around the goalposts and speak to the goalkeeper about James Bond movies. And as the ball came towards him, he'd just kick it as far away from him as he could so he didn't have to kick it again, you know. And then he'd go back to talking about James Bond movies. So just lots of things like that I could really relate to, because I wasn't very good at football either. And you think, how do I get out of this? I just want to talk to this my mate about something. Or so there was that. And then how he got into acting and voices. And, you know, he's one of the people that I think you can take what he's done with his life and apply some of the methods to your own life. It's nothing to do with acting or comedy or voices or anything, but just taking a chance or having a go. There's a great bit where he's trying to get into a drama school, and all the London drama schools reject him. Doesn't get into any of them, you know. And I think he's brilliant, Coogan. Mm. So it's just another good example of, don't worry about rejection. People. It's everywhere, you know. Yeah. But he goes to a college in Manchester, and there's a friend of his who he's met who is a kind of comedian, a producer, who Steve can tell that Steve's a much better performer than him, but this guy's much cleverer than Steve, you know. So they make a kind of a nice pairing, if you like.
I can't believe who would be cleverer than Steve. He seems so clever.
Yeah, well, I think they were saying, James O'Brien sums it up quite nicely, and he says there's intelligence and knowledge.
Yes.
Steve didn't have the knowledge, but he was intelligent. He was intelligent.
Yes.
Where Armando Iannucci, for instance, had all of this amazing knowledge because he'd been to Oxford and studied all sorts of things.
Probably,
you know.
Also has the intelligence.
Yes. Well, yeah, of course. Fair. Yes, he does. Yeah. But Coogan had this ability to perform with that intelligence.
Iannucci, I don't think.
No,
in the
he's
same
never
way.
Been a performer, you know. But they were a great pairing. But there's a great bit where he goes to audition, and there's a bit of a chance he decides to audition as a bad auditionee. It's, you know, he acts out doing it badly in all directions, you know. And the guy said to him, you know, you'll go for your auditions, and then normally in about 2 to 3 weeks they'll call you and tell you if they've got a place or not. But literally after the audition they go, you've got a place. And he said, it's just that I just took a chance, really. I thought, what would capture their imagination is if I acted out doing something that they would all automatically dislike, but then realize it was an act, you know.
Yes.
And think, oh, this is good, because it's like a double bluff, you know. So there was just lots of stuff in that. It talks about Philomena quite
Who
a bit.
Else
Alan
has
Partridge.
James O'Brien done?
I don't really know, to be honest. So that was just the first one I stumbled across, but it looks like he's there's 18 episodes, it says.
Oh, wow.
Tim Peake, Mary Beard. So lots of people by the looks of things.
Interesting variety, not just showbiz.
Yeah, Gabby Logan is in there, so... so there's loads of people in there, but this is just one that stumbled across that came into my thing, and I just thought I definitely want to listen to a few more of these, because they've really, really caught my imagination.
Mm.
And he's such a good interviewer.
Mm.
I love to see somebody that wouldn't get a chat show on TV ever, I don't think, James O'Brien. And he's on a kind of regional news station, which is London. So I'd just like him to reach a much broader, bigger audience,
bigger,
I guess.
Broader audience, yeah.
Yeah. Because he's exactly the type of person you want to interview somebody you like, because he'll just get under the skin in a way that I don't think Graham Norton would give the time for, or Jonathan Ross has got the time for, because, you know, they're so restricted by their time.
Yes.
So anyway, James O'Brien meets...
Sorry about the noise. That's not my tummy. That is the dishwasher.
But the Coogan's a great interview, and he says something really good at the end to wrap the whole thing up. And you just think, I want those words to come out of my mouth one day, you know.
Yes.
They're so good. And it was about his work and his philosophy around the work that he takes on board. But if you're interested, it's about 45 minutes long. If you're going to the gym and you're looking for something to listen to, fill your boots.
I've got quite a few things to talk about, but I'm going to try and do all of them quite quickly because I think they're all good.
Good.
So Sophia Webster makes shoes. Mm-hmm. I've been obsessed by her shoes for a very long time, but I have to say they are very spinny.
But sexy.
But
yeah.
When you see them, you are like, okay, they are worth every single penny. I think if you're going to spend an extraordinary amount of money on a pair of shoes, you want to see the craftsmanship in it. You want to see where somebody's literally hand stuck on crystals.
I'm going
to
say, you don't often see the craftsmanship in expensive shoes.
No, you don't.
I often think...
Exactly. But
yeah.
Sophia Webster is one person where you really, really do. They are absolutely beautiful. And I normally, you know, I wear footwear from JD Williams, Zara, yeah. You know, the high street, like, because I wear stuff to death.
Yep.
And
me too.
Pretty
me
much
too.
The next year I'll want to maybe get a new pair. Mm-hmm. So, but this pair of shoes, I'm not even sure whether they'll ever see the light of day. But I will, again, post a picture of them.
Could
on
you potentially wear them tonight?
Yes, I could. Yes,
thank you.
Yes. In the house, though. They're not going outside. They're too pretty. Yeah, yeah. But she sent me a book that she very sweetly wrote something so nice inside it. And it says, "Oh my gosh, I love your shoes, a decade of head-turning heels." Now, it's cheaper than a pair of her shoes.
Okay.
If you know anybody in your family who is shoe obsessed, which let's face it, a lot of women are, this would be a great Christmas present.
Okay.
It's so good. Uh-huh. It, for any shoe obsessive, you'll turn every single page and go, "Oh my God."
Men's?
No, women's.
Okay.
£40 for the hardback book. But it would look fantastic on a coffee table. It's a splash of colour. Mm-hmm. It's really glamorous. But she is brilliant. And I just can't recommend it high enough. So you can get it from all normal booksellers, Waterstones and others. And just, yeah, a great one for Christmas. And I'm going to take a picture of these shoes now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So on the subject of shoes, I've been looking for some kind of oxblood or red penny loafer type
shoes
for ages.
This is amazing.
Yeah. So we went to Jump the Gun in Brighton, and they had a lovely pair made by Loke, I think they might be called, but they were £150.
Spenny.
I'm a bit like, I'm a £100 cap me on shoes.
I know.
So I can spend more, but fuck me, it's got to really be desperate. So I have bought a very expensive pair of kind of like Chelsea boots with the zip up the side.
Yeah, but can I say?
I did love.
It's quite hard to fit shoes and boots to you, and they fit perfectly.
I mean, they are bloody
good.
They
are perfect.
I'm just going to have a look at the company. There you go. So they were called from a company called Thomas Bird, whose internet name? The fuck has happened to my brain?
What do you mean?
Website.
Oh, yeah, it's internet. God, welcome
their
to my world.
Their internet name?
I love it when you do this.
I went on QVC this week for the first time, and I lost my brain.
You only lost your brain once, Michael.
I said, it's got four heat settings, cold.
Low. I was going, low! Low! I was sitting at home watching you.
I don't know what the next one is. Yeah, it was bizarre. Anyway, Thomas Bird, which is TBLON. So it'll be Thomas Bird London, I'm guessing. TBLON.com. And I bought some Chelsea boots there. Now, they were £380. I'm going to tell you which ones they are because, you know, you might want to know. I've taken them to the cobblers because I like them so much. They're called Memphis. £320, I think they are. The Memphis boot. Let me just double check. I don't want to make sure I'm lying to you. And they're actually something else. They've got a zip up the side anyway. I put them on and I thought, bloody hell, I like them. And then I got them slightly damp in the rain. And they got better. You know, when they just go slightly more. Like,
yes.
Whoosh. And they look like Jim Morrison had them on for a month, you know. And I thought, okay, I like these a lot. So I took them to the cobblers and because they're leather-soled. And, you know, and I thought, you know what, let's get a bit of rubber on here. Just give me a bit of grip because I want to wear these a lot. So I bought them. I bought two pairs in different sizes. So I sent one back, £320. A lot of money for me on the old shoe front, but bloody hell, I do like them. And when I get them back from cobblers, I'll take a picture and I'll stick it
yes,
on.
Yes, they're very nice. The
anyway, the Penny Loafer thing I was looking for. So, do you know what? I just thought, do you know, I'll just go on Amazon and have a little look. And I went on Amazon and had a little look for Penny Loafer, Oxblood, £171. I was like, no
oh,
way.
No.
So I scrolled through and I found some.
This is ridiculous.
I know.
I mean, so ridiculous.
Found something. So they're now at £65.21.
Didn't you get them for 50?
£58.
I mean, seriously.
I bought them size 40 and they were so nice. And I thought, well, I'll buy them. If they're no good, I'll send them back if I don't like the look of them or something like that. And they're absolutely perfect.
They're
so
perfect.
I bought two pairs of £58 each. And I've took them to the cobblers as well to put a little sole on them. Cause I
yeah, because otherwise they're a bit slippy. And also you make too much noise.
I've had them on today.
Looks so nice.
So cool, aren't they?
So cool.
So,
Burgundy's
folks,
such a good colour too. It's so versatile.
Yeah. So I'm just going to give you out the name of who I bought them from the internet. So they're called Carlo Torecci. This really reminds me of when David Brent comes to work at the office one day with a leather jacket on. And he goes, oh, Gucci. And he goes, no, Ciro Ciruccio. You know. It's just like... This is like Carlo Torecci. Men's antique leather mask loafers. Hand-stitched leather sole made in Spain. Includes removable aloe vera insole. They're £58.51. And these are the ones I bought. And if you're interested in having a look or you want to buy them or you want a penny loafer, because I put them on my Instagram the other day and I got three people saying, oh my God, Oxblood penny loafers. I've just bought some the other day from,
how funny,
you know, wherever it was. And I thought, I bet you paid more than I did.
Yeah.
So go and have a look at them. The quality is pretty good, I would say. I've been wearing them for 3 days in the rain, sleet, and snow, and they have not fallen apart. So yeah, go and have a little look at them if you fancy some of them. I would have thought they'd be perfect for women's feet as well as men's
yeah,
feet.
Yeah, they look unisex.
Unisex, right?
Yeah. We haven't got a huge amount of time left.
Do you want to order pho?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, ladies and gents, our favourite dish is pho.
I'm going to... can I just order my usual?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Chicken curry. I think it's red is the lesser hot one. I'm gonna do a recommendation while you order.
Yeah, okay, great.
And because actually all I'm recommending right now is three books.
Okay.
So the first one is Geelong, how would you say that? Thubten.
Thubten, yeah.
Geelong Thubten. I haven't heard of him before, but it says here on the back that Buddhist monk Geelong Thubten is regarded as one of the UK's most influential meditation teachers. And he's already had a Sunday Times bestseller, A Monk's Guide to Happiness. But I saw this guy talking, I think, to Dr. Chatterjee on Instagram. And I loved what he said. And I loved his whole vibe. For a Christmas present, this book is lovely. It's called Handbook for Hard Times. So when you are struggling, it's a kind of pick up and put down book. Whatever you want. But I think if you are struggling, it's a read all the way through from start to finish. Things like the power of forgiveness, things like happiness and suffering, you know. He's really, really, really good. So follow him as well.
Great.
On Instagram and everywhere. Top guy. Top monk. That's what he is.
Okay, great.
The next one is The Natural Menopause Method. Now, Karen Newby is somebody I did a live with the other day on Instagram. She is a nutritionist specialising in women's health and the menopause. I'm always a bit like, oh, can you eat yourself better from the menopause? Turns out she has got a lot of things in this book. People are always saying to me, what can I do if I can't or don't want to take HRT? What other things can I do? And I'm always a bit like, oh, I don't know where to point you. Karen Newby, this book, The Natural Menopause Method, The Nutritional Guide to Perimenopause and Beyond. It's really good. It's really helpful.
Oh,
she talks to lots of different people in it. She talks about osteoporosis, all the different things that can help, about a hurried life, about overwhelm, about everything. Then the next one, I got this the other day. I read you a paragraph from it. You cried.
Yeah.
I cried.
I do like this guy a lot. I used to love his TV show. Was it the Super Vet?
Yeah. Noel Fitzpatrick is a fucking golden human.
Yeah.
He has got goodness in his heart, but also a pit of sadness that, like, is so tantalizing to people like you and me, because you can see how gutted he gets when an animal doesn't make it. And he talks about the first animal that didn't make it, the first animal he couldn't save, and how that spurred him on to be determined to do all of this completely revolutionary veterinary practice on animals and keep them alive. But this is the story about him and his dog, Kira. And the thing is, the drawings are just absolutely gut and heart-wrenching. Noel Fitzpatrick is saying to his dog here, who are you? And Kira's saying, I don't know, but can I come in? I found this. And he says, do you want to? This isn't a happy house. And Kira says, it can be. And he says, but I don't know who I am. And the dog says, does that matter? We can find ourselves together. Everyone gets lost sometimes, but no one is everyone. You're just you. Oh, I mean, there are not many books that you can pick up and on one page.
I know, What I like about that is he says to the dog, who are you? And he says, I don't know. And I think, dogs don't know that they're dogs almost, do they?
No.
And there's something so liberating.
So liberating.
About that, you know, one of the problems with human beings is we're so self-aware. There's so many feelings. It's like, fuck, if I could just get rid of some of these feelings. And if it was just like, somebody pat me. Somebody feed me. Mm-mm. Give me somewhere to sleep in front of a fire.
So simple, right?
You know, yeah.
Have you ever read The Tao of Poo?
No, I don't think so.
So Taoism is...
Taoism. Yeah.
But they wrote a book about how Poo is the perfect Taoist. Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, God, right.
Sorry,
okay,
not Poo. Yeah. Not excrement. And they talk about Eeyore being the ultimate pessimist and Tigger being the ultimate optimist, but that Poo is actually the Taoist. And... it's written a little bit like this, but here Kira says, throw it, and she's talking about a ball, and he says, it's dirty, it's a dirty, soggy tennis ball, and she goes, it's a world of endless possibility, throw it, and he then says, I'm sorry, I threw it too far, and she says, don't worry, if it's meant for us, it'll be there for us.
Oh, wow.
You know, like that, kind of all this stuff that the barriers that we all put up.
Oh, the dogs don't. See at all, do they? It's like fun.
So again, you know? Amazing gift.
Yeah,
This really reminds me of Charlie Mackesy's book.
I really might read that.
Well, it's here. Like, yes, we're going to... I think we should both read it together in bed and kind of...
Okay.
Because you can pick up... Each page has a lesson on it. And the thing is, I think for somebody who liked Charlie Mackesy's book about the boy, the
mole
and the horse, was it? This is 1899, another brilliant, brilliant Christmas present.
So that's a great Christmas present, that, I think. Because it just slightly touches your heart just enough, doesn't
it? Just enough. And without being pointy or maudlin. One other company that I think you should talk about is these guys.
Organically epic. Yes,
this person is a tiny business, and it seems, I've looked online, that they're doing rather well, and it's all bamboo.
Yeah, it's won lots of awards, hasn't it? Launched the first certified organic brightening antioxidant toothpaste in 2021, and also the first UK bamboo head electric toothbrush, the Sonic Wave. Both have won multiple awards in 2021 and 22, and our toothpaste is taking home the title of the best new organic product, the Global Pure Beauty Awards, an electrical toothbrush featuring the GQ's electric toothbrush. Yeah, so a lot. There's a long list of awards here. Yeah.
Is that, think of all the plastic heads
and the toothbrushes. I remember Julia Bradbury going, toothbrushes are fucking the work of the devil, you know. Well, they sent us this, and it's really good. It's
really good.
An electric sonic toothbrush, but it's all made of bamboo. Mm. It does all the movements and all the rest of it. It was absolutely great. And then these...
All sustainable.
Interdental brushes.
Which we love.
I was listening to Richard Dawkins' podcast the other day. We were talking about incidentals, and I just kind of love the word incidental.
Mm.
And I was desperate to call these incidental brushes. Yeah. But they're not.
No.
But these are made of bamboo as well, and there's little things that stick between your teeth, and then you can get bits and pieces out. Ever since I wore my braces, I've now got gaps between my teeth that I didn't have before.
Too.
But it's so nice putting something in there and just removing the debris. What's that, charcoal?
Yeah, no, this is floss.
It's made out of some kind of charcoal cloth, though, is it?
and you put
I love floss. Yeah.
You put it through this little hole down here, like that, and then you put it, off.
Oh, yeah, so you can thread it out of the
capsule. Yeah, and then cut it, though, on the capsule that it's in.
Nice. Someone's nicked the tongue cleaner.
Yes.
I want the tongue cleaner.
Yeah, and that's very... The scraper.
Yeah, it's like a scraper thing, like a loop that you put on your tongue and scrape down.
I don't know where that's gone.
I have to say...
Look, look.
When I look at my tongue in any great detail... Oh, yeah, nice. So it's like a little dispenser of floss.
But yeah.
This floss is black. Yeah, they've done a fantastic job. We've had... They gave us this about 6 months ago.
Yeah, we've been meaning to talk about it. And that's why I thought if we're going to have a break, we've got to mention this company because they are really, really, you know... they put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah. So toothpaste does not contain SLS or fluoride. I'm not anti-fluoride at all. It's a fantastic ingredient in dental care. However, many people cannot use toothpastes that contain it, but they are using toothpastes that are not good for their dental health by just removing fluoride without putting something in its place. So, you know, they've gone a deep dive on all this. So it's called Organically Epic.
And it's organicallyepic.uk.
And they've got a brightening antioxidant toothpaste, which we've not tried. I don't think we've got any of that, but I'd quite like to give that a go. I love cleaning my teeth. I love dental care. I love having a clean mouth.
I was telling the dentist this morning about you.
Oh, it's
you're not normal.
So good. I love going to the orthodontist, the cleaner, the dentist, all of it. It's so good. I finished season 3 of Dave last night.
Yeah, I had to cancel you.
You had to cancel me.
Cancel you?
Oh, yeah. I started watching it a while ago, and then we went to Disney and I'd forgotten all about it. And then on the flight home, I realised I had an episode on my iPad. I was like, I've got Dave to watch. I put it on. I was like, God, I forgot just how much I love David Bird. So David Bird is a rapper called Lil Dicky that you might have known of. And he's done all sorts of songs, been around for quite a long time. But he's also got this TV show where he plays himself, a bit like Larry David does with Curb Your Enthusiasm. And he plays himself becoming a rapper, becoming famous, and all the trappings that come with that. But all his own kind of self-doubt and worry about whether he's good enough, his obsession with perfection, and then the relationships of the people he has around him. It is absolutely fucking brilliant, this TV show. Well done, Dave, and everybody who makes it. The acting in it's superb. The comedy in it is superb. But I was thinking, oh, where's this going to go? So he's become a famous rapper in season 3, and he's on tour, and there's a tour bus with his face on the side of it, you know. Yeah. The Trying to Find Love tour or something like that. So he's always looking for love. He can't find it, basically. And I'm not surprised because he's a pain in the arse, is Dave. You know, he's obsessed with himself, with all these thoughts. And you've got to kind of immerse yourself in Dave's world, any girl who falls in love with him, you know. Anyway, he does find a girl who is gorgeous and perfect for him. And she is brilliant in this. And I remember thinking, how great she is and how magical they've made this relationship, you know. And it's really good. But there's a scene in it where the tour bus blows up. It's a bit of a spoiler, this, so sorry about this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The tour bus blows up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dave has a weird fetish that instead of masturbating, he likes to have sex with these rubber legs with a rubber vagina. So it's not got a torso, it's just legs and a lady's part.
Oh.
And he has sex with it. Now, the girlfriends that he gets knows about this. He's not embarrassed about anything, Dave.
No, he's not embarrassed about anything. Yeah. It's got a tiny penis, not embarrassed about that.
And it's damaged. Like, he's damaged his penis when he was a kid, and it's got a weird hole in it. So he's got this very peculiar way he has to have sex in order to climax. And he just wants to find a girl who wants to help him have really good sex with this odd penis that he's got. So anyway, he's got this rubber legs that he takes on tour with him. Anyway, the bus blows up because of some malfunction.
Mm.
Anyway, they're all right. But somebody comes and films the bus burning and sees these rubber legs hanging out the back of the bus, and they assume...
Think someone's died.
They think Dave's dead because it's Dave's tour bus, and they can just see this leg, and he says, Little Dickie's dead. Anyway, it's all over social media, and they're trapped in the middle of the desert. But when they get to a phone signal, all the phones go off, and Dave's manager, who's having a really tough time with the record label because they're not selling enough records and they're not getting enough streams and they're not doing anything.
And suddenly...
All of a sudden, it pops and everybody... He gets like 2 million followers on Instagram. Now he's dead. He gets millions of streams, millions of watches of YouTube videos and all the rest of it. So his manager, Mike, who you'll know from Beef, redheaded fella, really funny.
Oh, yes, I know him.
He's like, okay, Dave, put your phone down. Turn it off. We're going to keep you dead for 24 hours.
Yeah, amazing.
And then it's like... no, let's do 48 hours, you know. And it's just like, oh my God. And Dave can't cope with it because he's desperate to be the most honest, genuine, authentic version of himself. And at the same time, he's now realised that in order to be successful, he has to live within this lie, you know. And it's just like, oh, it's a brilliant
mechanic for this thing.
It's so good. But I watched the final episode last night, right? Rachel McAdams, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who's in The Notebook, right? Mm. She's not Ryan Gosling, so he's obsessed with the fact that there's that.
Oh, of course, she's playing herself.
She's playing herself, yeah.
Okay, amazing.
And
Brad Pitt.
And they're at the Met Gala, and she arranges the big toilet selfie for him to be in, and it's really good. So there's that going on. And then she's like, do you want to go out for dinner? And he's like, yeah, but he's got this girlfriend he's slightly falling in love with as well. So there's all this going on, like, what does he feel about Rachel McAdams? You know, how does he feel about his girlfriend? And then there's another twist in the tale, but the final episode, he shoots a video with Rachel McAdams and Brad Pitt. And then Brad Pitt goes, I fancy making music. Can I come round to your house to make some music? He's like, yeah, come round to my house. So him and Brad Pitt lay down the song, but something else happens. I'm not going to tell you what else happens because the final episode is a fucking epic,
oh my God,
extravaganza.
Can I just say, yeah, Brad Pitt?
Oh, it's so good. At the very sad scene.
How brilliant.
And he goes,
that's so clever.
He goes, my name's not Brad, it's Luke. And he goes, what? And he goes, it's Luke Pitt. And he goes, Luke? He goes, yeah. And he goes, okay, Brad, I'm going to go and get somebody. He says, it's not Brad, it's Luke. And he goes, okay, is it Luke? And I'm like, is that true? Does anybody know?
Have you looked it up?
I haven't looked it up. No, I'm not going to. Let's leave
it. No, don't.
Leave it out there. But anyway, it's just absolutely
brilliant.
We've
got to do listener recommendations because it's nearly 5:10.
Yeah, okay, great. But Dave was absolutely brilliant. It's on Disney Plus, ironically. But all three seasons are there, and it's produced and made by the same people who made Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's also produced by Kevin Hart, if that means anything to anyone. And I love it, and I'm devastated it's ended. Ladies and gents, let's do some shout-outs.
I think we should do as many shout-outs as possible, very brief ones.
Yeah,
let's not read the whole thing, because we're not going to be doing this for a while. So I think we should do, like, so-and-so says hi, has recommended a film.
Okay, yes, but not, I understand, yeah. So, well, shall I start here with Jo Shaler? And she said, I've downloaded it on Audible. So this is a memoir, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. This is Chandler Bing's memoir, Matthew Perry. So this is her recommendation, Jo Shaler. I would really like to read this. I heard lots of good things about this when it came out. And I loved Friends. And do you know what I would like to do over this weekend? We're going to Scotland this weekend.
Yep.
Let's download a few episodes of Friends, just some random episodes from different series.
Yes.
And watch them in memory of Matthew Perry, because he was bloody brilliant in
really
it, wasn't
was.
He? So thanks, Joe Shaler. So Brogan Patterson has said, finally caught up all 151 episodes.
Wow.
So let's have a little look what we've got here. It's been a bit strange through 3 years of your lives in such a short time. It'd be really interesting, the fact that...
Oh, my God, that is quite weird.
If we pass away or anything, our kids will have access to this.
Can I also just say, like how nervous I was of us being together, but I was so keen to not be intimate with you.
Uh-huh.
When we started.
Yeah, okay.
At all,
yes,
on air,
a bit
because...
Yes, about stuff, weren't we?
Well, just because I thought, you know, we've got kids to think about.
Yeah,
and
they were young.
And they were young, and, you know, it was new, and so I didn't... We were old friends, but...
Let me read this out, actually, because it's really quite good, because it says, it's been a bit strange going through 3 years of your lives in such a short time, and the changes that have happened, especially the kids going from childlike recommendations to now young adults making their own lives out there. Amazing. That's such a nice thing to write. So pleased to have come across it. I've watched a lot of the recommendations to the point Netflix now thinks I'm a war and serial killer fanatic. Anyway, thanks for what you do. Look forward to the next one. God, Brogan, I feel slightly...
Yeah, don't
bad
worry.
Now that
no, Brogan's going to be fine.
The last
He's going to be fine. Well, we're going to still do stuff on the Instagrams.
Brogan, follow us on Instagram, because we will still do the odd live on Instagram. If we stumble across three or four things that we think the world needs to know about, then we'll keep doing it, and we will be back next year. But thank you. What a really nice message to read out.
Yes.
And I bet it is quite interesting, that. Highly recommend series Lessons in Chemistry, based on a book, Apple TV.
We recommended the book.
Yeah.
Bonnie Garment.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely
okay.
amazing.
Did we recommend the book? Yes, we did. Yeah, I remember that.
I can't wait
yeah.
to watch the series. That's a great recommendation.
Can we just say that is from Lulu McGuinness, who has been a friend for a long
really,
time.
Really, really good friend.
She came to see me in Soho not that long ago. It was very nice. Hi, guys. One that I think the listeners will love, these new truffle chocolates from We Are Spellbound, delish and low calorie. So that's on Instagram, We Are
low
Spellbound.
Low calorie?
Yeah, I know.
Amazing. Uh-huh.
And that's from Olivia Kate, 1995. Thanks very much indeed for that. Mm-hmm. Let's have a look what we've got here. From Anne Neal. Hi, Davina. Following on from the recommendation for Beth Nielsen, please listen to I Find Your Love. It's by Beth Nielsen Chapman. And it's a song I adore and had forgotten about until I heard your podcast. Much love, Anne. So Beth Nielsen. And it's called I Find Your Love. So we'll have a little listen to that. Thank you very much, Anne Neal. It's great. Jen, just saying, I never watch something like this normally, but just the intro was enough to get me hooked. Get Gotti on Netflix.
Mm.
I assume this is John Paul Gotti, who was on a mafia gang. So Get Gotti on Netflix. Jen, this is a dream. I am going to get onto that because now Dave's finished and I'm a bit lost. I'm going to give this to you because I think it's only fair that you should read a few out as well.
So is it going from the top?
It's going from the top.
So this is a voice message, but I'm actually not going to
play it.
Do the whole thing. But Tracy Hewitt says, can I just say it's taken me a while, but I've finally been listening to your podcast. Love it. Been a fan of mine for many years and know if we met, we would be besties. I'm sure we would by judging by your lovely German Shepherd and loving the countryside. We're in South Bristol, but she's recommending Real Survival Stories on BBC Sounds with the melting voice of John Hopkins.
Oh, what was the thing on BBC Sounds you put me onto with?
Sean Williams.
Sean Williams, wow.
Oh, my God.
I think you did talk about it, actually.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
But BBC Sounds is a recommendation overall. Just they're so
good.
Full of stuff, yeah.
Yes. Oh, Emma Jane said, listening to the podcast in the car on the way to M&S when I heard you talking about chocolate-coated bourbons, hastily added to my trolley.
Oh, nice.
And when I got there and now eating one on the way home. Heaven. I mean, they really are outrageous. Yeah. Another recommendation from Vanessa Agdraws.
Mm-hmm.
She says she's thinking that we might like this one. It's on Netflix, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, a Wes Anderson short film.
Oh, I love Wes Anderson.
On Netflix,
great.
Based on a Roald Dahl story starring Benedict Cumberbatch, and her 12-year-old loved it. You know, one of those ones
good.
For all the family. I often think that I watched Coco again, the Disney film Coco, about the Day of the Dead, this morning, and I was at the dentist and they had a telly on the ceiling. Mm. Fucking ace. I was there for an hour and a half.
Oh,
it was
wow.
big.
I must watch Soul again, actually.
Watch Coco with the boys.
Yeah, okay.
Ugh. Mm. But it's the kind of thing that as an adult, you get all the adult themes, and as a kid, you'd get all the kid themes. It's absolutely brilliant. There is a guy called Remrov _ artist. He's got... what do you call people who have autism or ADHD or... There's a new word for it, and I can't... Not on
Asperger's,
the,
is it?
No. Anyway, he's got autism, and he's an amazing artist. Thank you, Sally
Looms.
Neurodiverse. Yeah. There you go. Brilliant. He's neurodiverse.
Asperger's is a word that they've got... That they've been squeezed out, I think.
Yes.
I don't think we're supposed to use Asperger's anymore.
No.
Okay.
There was something, but it takes a while for us to learn
these
things.
Yes, we're getting there.
Pip Marsh says, after listening to the interview with Chris Evans, I've started reading Jerry Halliwell Horner's new book. 40 pages in. It's excellent.
Oh, wow. Good.
It's
good to hear.
Rosalind Steele says, great to have you back. Oh, dear. I feel guilty.
Mm.
Friday morning housework sessions just weren't the same without you. Oh, no.
Sorry.
Instagram recommendation is Cooking for Levi. Levi's a little boy, about two, who's got sophisticated palate, and his dad, who's obviously an excellent chef, makes him the most gorgeous dishes, and Levi always has something to say about it. I mean, little kids. Can I just recommend one more thing?
Yes.
I'm going to say goodbye now to... all of our listeners and just say, if anybody isn't following the Cab family, follow the Cabs online.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are growing up now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're my family. I've recommended them before, but the Cabs family bring me enormous joy. All of their children have got little individual personalities that are really funny, but they are the greatest, greatest parents.
It's nice to see, and, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really nice to see. I love that family.
Ladies and gents, we are on Instagram at MD London and at Davina McCall, and we're on almost every day, aren't we, really? So if you want to stay in touch with us through that, you can do. The Instagram page, obviously, Making the Cut podcast, will stay live, and we will keep checking it and looking at various bits and pieces on there.
I promise one more thing.
Oh, yeah.
Headstrong. It's a company called Headstrong, and they make mushrooms, but they're capsules rather than the powders. I don't really like the powders.
Yes, a bit bitter, aren't they?
The powders are... But I think it's fine if you put it in coffee, but you've got to find the right way of having them. I have to say, Dirty do make coffee now.
Oh, they do,
like,
don't
they?
I saw that.
Coffee with it in, so that's really good. Headstrong make capsules. Mm. It's £28 for 30 capsules. It's still quite expensive, but all of these now have scientific backup. If you go to Headstrong's, Headstrong, look up Headstrong Mushrooms online, and it will show you the science under each mushroom, and lots of papers that you can read about the actual evidence that they have. But there are some for sleeping, some for anxiety, and again, if you're perimenopausal or menopausal, these might be able to help you. But what I love about this in particular is that this guy, Finn Hall, he went off and he thought, what can I do for packaging? The packaging is made from mushrooms.
Oh, I remember
it's
you telling
pulped,
me this, yes.
It's been put together, you can break it up, put it into your soil, drop it onto your plants.
And it just decomposes into the soil.
And it feeds the plants.
Yeah.
It's good for your garden.
Bloody great.
Just break it up and it breaks down. So if you look onto the Headstrong website, it shows you all there.
Ah, good. So I was just saying farewell, but I was just saying also that we will keep checking the Instagram page. We'll do the odd live on Instagram as well.
So
if you don't follow us on Instagram, then definitely do Making the Cut podcast. And as and when we're ready to come back, when
I'm
things just settle
pining.
Down a bit.
Are you?
I know, I'm already thinking, should we really
shall we,
stop?
Shall we really
know?
Stop?
No. Anyway, we'll do what we can.
No, we might come back earlier.
Yeah, we might come back earlier.
We might miss Easter.
It. Yeah, because we love it.
We do.
It was just getting...
And I've loved... I was going to say I've loved doing it with you, but that sounds a bit wrong. But I've loved recording this with you.
Have a wonderful November the weekend.
Love you.
It's November. We are going to see Abba Voyage next week.
Oh my god, Voyage Privé.
Now what I'm going to do is pre-recommend this, even though I've not seen it.
Because we know it's boss.
Everybody says it is fucking nuts. And everybody says you don't need to like Abba, it's still bonkers. We've got dance floor tickets, we're on the floor, which everybody said, it's because you want to dance. It's in the seats sometimes, a bit frustrating.
And do you know what's just happened to me?
You've had a hip replacement.
The next day off.
Oh, from
unexpectedly.
Abba. Wonder if I have then. I don't know.
I was doing Long Lost Family.
Oh God, I haven't got the next day off. Anyway, have a lovely time.
Yeah.
Okay.
We love you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.